Today, especially on this Memorial Day weekend, I have some military verses to look at here in 2 Timothy. I've already met some people who have served here in this congregation. Thank you for your service. If you have known anyone who has passed away giving their life, especially we honor them this weekend. But we are soldiers in a different battle. It's a spiritual battle, and the Lord addresses that. The Apostle Paul does here in these verses. I've known Pastor Post and Roberta for 37 years, and it's been a blessing the whole time, knowing them at camp and as well as pastor's fellowships and coming here for occasions. We have watched the development of this church and was rejoiced in what God has done here. I've known Brother Ernsberger and Lynn before that. We were in school together, and we also went to church together in the same church while we were going to school. Please don't tell anybody that I accidentally sat with your wife in church. That was an accident a long time ago. But one of the most embarrassing times of my life. And Brother Ernsberger and I have been contemporaries, pastoring together and working together, and seeing him at different times, at different occasions, at different pastors' fellowships, arch ministries, and different things. A little bit awkward in a sense addressing you, because you could say the same thing to me, because we are in the ministry together today. And I'm looking at some passages, some verses here today where the Apostle Paul was addressing Timothy. Timothy was a pastor that the Apostle Paul was groomed and gave him some instruction. Of course, there was qualifications for the ministry in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy here is an encouragement. Encouragement for him, because Timothy had been in the ministry for a while. And there are references to us and the spiritual warfare that goes on and the spiritual nature of our battle that we are in. And in these verses, the Apostle Paul at the beginning of chapter 2 in 2 Timothy verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Here's the encouragement we have. The overall thing is to be strong in the grace of God. And depending upon that, depending upon God's grace, whatever we need. And this is the issue we need. This is the ministry. There's a great dependence upon God in doing this. And the grace of God does several things. And I want to mention that from these verses of Scripture, just three things, and then we can eat. The grace of God teaches us some things that we should know. We know that from Titus, the next book after this. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So the grace of God teaches us something. There's things that we need to know. And so as pastors in the ministry, we are constantly going to the Word of God and reaching out and allowing the grace of God to teach us so that we can know things. And there's a lot of things we could list. But if we were to summarize what we know today about the grace of God, about God, we would say that God is great and God is good. Remember that little prayer you prayed when you were a kid over your meal? God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for this food. Not a better theological prayer than that prayer. God is great and God is good. I remind you that God has designed the church. This is not man's idea. Man didn't get together and say, "Hey, let's just do this." God did this, and God said, "I will build my church." This is a spiritual endeavor in what we're doing. And you want to know and you want to be close to what God's doing, get close to the church. Get involved in the church and keep your heart there, because that's where God's working. In the first book of 1 Timothy, Paul said the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's where God's working. We're living in a day, however, when there's a lot of people say the church is no longer necessary, people bailing out, we can have our own church at home, we can do these things. It's kind of interesting. But we have verses of Scripture that tell us to do this until I come, and the Lord hasn't come yet. So we're going to continue being faithful. And so the grace of God tells us that God is great, He's good. God calls the preacher. It's God's calling. I've told people, if you don't like some of the things, when you get to heaven, tell God, "God, I didn't like how you did this." So if you don't like how the church is designed, when you get to heaven, be sure you talk to the Lord about it. I think you'll change your mind when you get there, but it's God's calling. He's the one who does this. So it's a spiritual thing, and God's involved. But He teaches us. God teaches us. The grace of God teaches us some things we ought to know, that God is good and God is great. and also teaches us about man. We are sinners and we are deceived. We know Jeremiah 17:9 that talks about the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The default of our heart is deception. That's our default. And we've got to be corrected by the Word of God. God helps us. Oh, now I see that. And so we are sinners. We understand that. It's a little bit humbling to know from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that God calls and chooses the weak things in His ministry. He chooses the weak things to do His work. And that's what we're called to do, His work. And that's okay with, we're okay with that. So we're sinners and we need God's grace and we need forgiveness. But also, the people, we're all of us are sinners. We got to remember that. We're sinners and we all need the grace of God. And we've got to remember, I have a place, I have a responsibility to God in this thing called the church and to my pastor, as Pastor Post so wonderfully reminded everyone. And we're going to stand before the Lord with that. And so we've got to be careful that the Word of God directs our approach to that, because we understand our default. So there's some things that we know. The grace of God tells us some things we ought to know. And then there's some things the grace of God tells us we ought to do. This is in verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So here we have some things that we are to do. And one of those is to teach. A part of the responsibility of the pastor is to teach. And what do we have? The only thing we have is the Word of God. Somebody can get up and say, well, I'll tell you, here's my opinion. Okay, that's great. That's your opinion. It doesn't hold any weight when it goes to concerns God's things. After if you've done something a while, they say, okay, I'll consider that. But when we say this is God's Word, that has a totally different bearing on us. Because all we have is the Word of God. But 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that's enough. That's all we need. That's all we need is the Word of God. And we have it. And the pastor's responsibility is to give the Word of God, deliver the Word of God. What a responsibility to give out the Word of God and be sharing that. And then to train, as the Apostle Paul talked about here in verse 2, train others, train your replacement. It'd be hard for, it's great for me. I have two sons, both in the ministry, both in Kansas, which is great. You don't have any sons, so it'd be hard to, train, and our son is following in our steps. And a few years from now, we'll go through this process as well. And I will be stepping out, my son will be stepping in, and the process of becoming the pastor of Midland Baptist Church in Wichita. And so we're looking forward to that. That's exciting, seeing how you all are doing things. We're looking forward to that day. But here's the Apostle Paul talking about keeping this going. We are here today because somebody received the Word of God. They gave it to somebody else. They gave it to somebody else, and it kept going all these years, and now we have it today because somebody kept sharing the Word of God. So don't stop. The next generation, the generation that's yet to be born, needs to hear the Word of God, and you need to be doing that. And the pastor's going to be training you and teaching you how to be able to do that, parenting and different issues, to be able to train the next generation in the Word of God, what the Word of God says, so they can take it to the very next generation as well. Because we don't live forever. Remember when we came here 37 years ago? We weren't as old then as we are now, Brother Post and Roberta. We were young. We were young whippersnappers. Time has changed a little bit. We realize that we're not going to be here forever. There's another generation coming. We get the opportunity to train them, give them the Word of God, train them in that as well. So there's things we need to know. The grace of God teaches us some things to know. And then also there's some things to do. And then there's some things to endure in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, there's our military verse that we talked about for this Memorial Day weekend. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Because there's things to endure in the ministry. No one understands the ministry like a pastor. I'm just telling you. We had a young man in our church. He was assistant we had a long time ago. I heard him one time, a lady who was pregnant was talking about the difficulty she was having while she was pregnant. He said, I know how you feel because I was sick one time too. And I overheard that conversation from a distance. Monday morning in my office, I talked to him and I said, you know, for one thing, you'll never be pregnant. You do not know how to relate to a woman who has ever been pregnant. I don't care how much you know about it. You'll never be able to relate to her. And you realize how silly it sounds to you to tell her you know how she feels? Do you realize how silly that is? She's probably looking at you like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. He said, well, I wanted to reach out and I wanted to let her know I'm trying to feel. Well, it's one thing to try to feel that. It's another thing to say, yes, I understand. No, they're going to look at you and say, no, you don't understand. And that's the same thing with the ministry. No one understands the ministry but a pastor. I'm telling you. There's nothing like it. It's wonderful, but there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing. If somebody's mowing your yard, and they have a lawnmower, and they're mowing the yard, and they weed eat, they're doing manual labor, and they want to make sure they do a good job. Get your yard cut and make sure it's nice. That's wonderful. The man who owns that equipment, the man who has to make sure he gets another job and keeps his job going because that's paying his, and he owns the business, that man has another level of job. You've got manual labor, and you've got mental labor, and then you've got spiritual labor. You have the weight of delivering the Word of God to people. That weight never goes away. You have the weight of accountability standing before God. How did I do in delivering the Word of God? And then you have the weight of the burden of the people, because you see decisions that they're making that are going to go down the wrong path. You can see where it's going. You've seen it before. And you try to help them, and they get mad at you or something happens. And you bear that weight. Nobody understands that like the pastor. And you'll have misguided people that come along and will say different things. And it's a matter of our endurance. I had a lady came one time and she said, my brother was a pastor and you need some help. And she gave me cassettes. You know what cassettes are? Some of you, Mary, you know what cassettes are? She gave me some cassettes. You need some help. I'm going to give you some help. Because my brother was a preacher, and she gave me a bunch of his messages so that I could learn how to preach. And especially said the invitation. You just don't know how to do an invitation. She meant well, but that's really misguided. That's and that happens. Why? Because we're easily deceived, thinking, oh, I can help. I can help you, Pastor. That was a stupid message. You know, that's not helping. Pastor Post dealt with that. You say, well, it was the truth. Sometimes you don't need to tell everything, you know. The Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind. So if you're thinking it, doesn't mean you have to say it. One lady said that to me one time. If I'm thinking it, I might as well say it. I said, there's a proverb that addresses that. And I quoted her that verse. A fool uttereth all his mind. You don't say everything you're thinking. You think about it a minute. You say, is that encouraging? That's not encouraging. All right, I'm canning that one. I'm stuffing that one away. But as a pastor in our position, there's some difficulties to endure, and that's a part of life. So we ask God for God's grace to help us in this. There's trials. Pastors have trials too. They have difficulties, and there are persecutions at times. If our culture keeps going the way it's going, we may see more and more persecutions of Christians. I think God might be sorting out the wheat and the tares. I don't know. Some people, oh no, I don't want to. Don't rock the boat. If they say we got to accept this as normal, when God condemns it very clearly in Scripture, then I guess I better accept it as normal. No, we got to stand with the Word of God, even if that brings you some difficulties at times. And that may be looking. We may be looking that straight in the eye, and we're very much aware of that. But this is something pastors deal with in their lives. This is something that the Apostle Paul gave the instruction to Timothy. Here's what the ministry is about. Here's what it's like. And you need the grace of God. The grace of God will teach us some things. The grace of God tells us some things we need to know, tells us about things we need to do. It gives us the strength to endure things. I'm so grateful that we have the Word of God. What a privilege to be able to stand up and deliver the Scriptures and give the Word of God. So thankful for you, brother, and Brother Ernsberger and Lynn. So thankful for you and your life and knowing you all these years and knowing your faithfulness to the Lord. It's wonderful. And I'm just glad we're going to be serving close. We're close enough we can come go to lunch together sometime. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Been praying for you ever since I knew of your situation and knew the church's vote for you here. I've been praying for you every day and looking forward to the Lord's continued blessing here on this ministry for many years to come. And looking forward to you. I'm very grateful you're praying for me too. Thank you for that. We're serving the Lord and trying to do that to the best of our ability, all of us, because one day we're going to stand before the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that you've given to us. Thank you for this opportunity, this occasion we have today. Thank you for your calling upon people's lives. Thank you for your enabling. Your enabling. Your grace does come and help us when we have difficulties. Your grace does teach us things we need to know, teaches us things we need to do in ministry, and teaches us and gives us the ability to endure the things that come our way. I pray, Lord, for these people. I pray you'll bless this church. Thank you for how you have blessed this church through the years. Thank you for the wonderful ministry of Pastor Post and Roberta. Thank you, Lord, for how you've used them, the blessing they have been, the joy they have been around, even in the midst of difficulties at times, to laugh with them and enjoy life. I pray you'll bless them as they're moving to a different phase in their lives. I pray you'll bless this church. Pray you'll bless these people to serve, that they'll continue serving you and following you, and realize they're doing something spiritual here. It's not something physical, it's spiritual. We're in a spiritual battle. The devil is real, and he's alive. The devil has not been converted, and you know that, Lord. Help us to realize that. He is wanting to cause a problem somewhere, and I pray that you'll help people to be on guard and aware and understand their adversary, the devil, is looking for someone he can use to be a problem. Pray that you help them to stay faithful. Bless the new pastor, Lord, Brother Ernstberger and Lynn. Bless them in a very special way. We ask all this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.